So we're going to read to us from Jonah chapter 1. It says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me.' But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God, and they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship, and had lain down and was fast asleep. So the captain came and said to him, 'What do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us, that we may not perish.' And they said to one another, 'Come, let us cast lots, that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us.' So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, 'Tell us on whose account this evil has come upon us. What is your occupation, and where do you come from? What is your country, and of what people are you?' And he said to them, 'I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land.' Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, 'What is this that you have done?' For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then they said to him, 'What shall we do to you, that the sea may quiet down for us?' For the sea grew more and more tempestuous. He said to them, 'Pick me up and hurl me into the sea. Then the sea will quiet down for you. For I know it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you.' Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to dry land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more against them. Therefore they called out to the Lord, 'O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood. For you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you.' So they picked Jonah up and hurled him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights."
Well, are you following the story so far? Who reckons they'd be sound asleep at the bottom of the ship as well if the storm was very tempest? Hands? And as, yes, you think you would be? Who else was in the bottom of a ship and went to sleep on the sea? Ah, that's interesting, hey. Now, we're going to continue with the story of Jonah. Now, we've read chapter 1. Which chapter do you think we should read now? 1B. Come, Pam. These people are just sitting on the edge waiting to see which chapter you're going to read.
I was thinking after chapter 1, it's amazing how spiritual people suddenly become when they're about to die, isn't it? So chapter 2. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the depths of the grave, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the deep, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, 'I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple.' The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you brought my life up from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land.
And here's your Landy to read chapter 3.
Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you." So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh. I think you'd do anything after you've been spewed out of a fish, wouldn't you? He arose and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a three-day journey in extent. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day walk. Then he cried out and said, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. Then the word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in the ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, "Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil ways and from the violence that is in his hands. Who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish?" Then God saw their works and that they have turned from their evil ways. And God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it.
Okay, Joel, this is the chapter we've been looking for. Bring us home, mate.
So chapter 4, Jonah's anger and God's kindness. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. So he prayed to the Lord and said, "Ah, Lord, was that not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish. For I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. Therefore now, our Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." Then the Lord said, "It is right for you to be angry." So Jonah went out of the city and sat to the east side of the city. There he made himself a shelter and sat under it in the shade till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a plant and made it come up over Jonah, that it might be shade for his head to deliver him from his misery. So Jonah was very grateful for the plant. But as morning dawned the next day, God prepared a worm, and it so damaged the plant that it withered. And it happened when the sun arose that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. Then he wished death for himself and said, "It is better for me to die than to live." Then God said to Jonah, "It is right for you to be angry about the plant." And he said, "It is right for me to be angry even to death." But the Lord said, "You have pity on the plant for which you have not labored nor made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city in which are more than 120,000 people who cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and much livestock?"
if I've sunk this love as I walk the plankton in a sanctum. Got out of Dodge, sailed on a bundless bon voyage. You said north, I headed south. Tossed overboard, good lord, that's a really large mouth. 3 hours sleeping with fishes here in the belly of the whale. I'm highly nutritious here in the belly of the whale. Bad food, lousy atmosphere. This morning kinda blue, thinking through that age-old question, how to exit a whale's digestion. It might behoove me to be he, head out like a human comet. I wonder what rhymes with comet. I'm sleeping with fishes here in the belly of the whale. I'm highly nutritious here in the belly of the whale. I'm headed to Rupia. I don't wanna bellyache. Lord, how long is this gonna take?
Enjoy the segue between the last song and the only at the Presbyterian Church. Can we muck things up that much? I tell you. Praise the Lord. Well, we've got a good God, haven't we? Amen. And didn't our readers read very well the story of Jonah? Hallelujah. Well, I hope I can add some value to those incredible four chapters. And, of course, the Newsboys. Just a little bit of an advert there. The church we were in at Tweed Heads, one of the pastor's sons was a founding member of the Newsboys. Because it was originally an Australian group, but I don't think there's any Australians in it anymore. I think it's all American. They're all American. The drummer's still Australian. Okay, praise the Lord. Well, the story of Jonah is, of course, found in our Old Testament. It's made up of four chapters, as you've discovered here this evening. And I suppose in some ways we could title each of the four chapters. Number one, we could call number one the storm. We could call chapter two the fish. Chapter three, we could say, well, let's call that one the city. And of course, chapter four, the Lord. And we often call Jonah the reluctant prophet. The book was a warning to the Gentile capital of the world at that time, a place called Nineveh in the kingdom of Assyria. Nineveh covered an approximate area of some 900 square kilometres. It was a big place. In fact, I think it says in Jonah there it took him 3 days to walk through. Is that right? The walls surrounding Nineveh were over 30 metres high, and they boasted some 1,500 towers 60 metres tall. Chariot races were often held on top of the wall, whereby chariots could race three abreast. This was a substantial city. Nineveh was a big city with a population, it's estimated, close to, if not a little bit more than, 1 million people in the days of Jonah. And the Assyrians who lived there had ruled the world for several hundred years. So why was Jonah so reluctant to preach in Nineveh? Well, other than the fact that Nineveh was quite a daunting city and a task that was very frightening, I mean, just imagine if God said to you, David, I want you to go and preach repentance to everyone in New York City. Oh, yeah, no worries. Bob, go and preach repentance to all the people in Tokyo. You know, it's... Oh, Saudi, yeah, okay, Saudi Arabia, that's probably even better. Okay, so it's quite good. But perhaps the real reason, the primary reason why Jonah didn't want to go was because the Assyrians had been Israel's enemy for a long time. And Jonah didn't want them to repent, for
He preferred to see God judge Nineveh and destroy them for all the evil they had inflicted upon Israel. Jonah had most probably read Isaiah chapter 7, where God said one day he would use Nineveh to be an instrument of God's judgment, although primarily upon the southern kingdom of Judah. Perhaps Jonah had also read the book of Hosea chapters 9, 10 and 11, where God was going to use the Assyrians to judge Israel. Consequently, Jonah didn't want Nineveh spared. In other words, give it to them, God. They deserve it. Bomb them, Lord. Wipe them out. However, as the Apostle Peter found out the day he challenged Jesus, not wanting him to die on the cross, Jesus told him to get behind me, Satan, for thou dost not savour the things of God, but of men. And because Jonah's thoughts and God's thoughts obviously differed, effectively, God began saying to Jonah, get behind me, Satan, for thou savourest the things of men and not of God. It would appear that God's mercy has limits to it, and in the case of Nineveh, they were only 40 days from destruction. Jonah, get down to Nineveh and tell them to repent, or else it's curtains for them. So Jonah was not excited about the assignment until God explained it to him a little more clearly by swallowing in a fish. And with an experience with inside the large fish for 3 days and three nights, Jonah changed his mind. And so when Jonah finally got to Nineveh, his message was not market researched. You know how we in the church now go into the world with market research programs? I don't think Jonah's program of calling them to repentance was market research. He went through the town saying, 40 days and you get yours. It's effectively what he was saying. It was then that one of the greatest miracles of the Old Testament happened. No, it wasn't the fish episode, but the repentance within 40 days of everyone from the king down to the peasants. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing to be able to go into a town, even if it only had 3,500 people in it, and within 40 days, everyone from the mayor to the least repented? That I think that still stands as a record, actually, for the greatest repentance in the history of mankind. It's interesting to note that when the king repented, he did it on speculation, thinking that maybe if they did repent, God might change his mind. That's an interesting exercise to ponder. And change his mind he did, for Nineveh was spared destruction for another 100 years. Later, the prophet Nahum would be dispatched to again preach to Nineveh, but this time they would fail to heed his cry, and they fell to the Babylonians, who at one stage had been a city of their empire, and the Babylonians were on the rise in power. It's interesting that after Jonah preached to the Assyrians, God used them in 722 and 721 BC to judge the northern kingdom of Israel, the place from where Jonah had come. So I think that last passage in the scripture there in chapter 4, Jonah knew that if they repented, he would be a gracious God and he would forgive them. He knew his God. He didn't want that to happen. It's a good thing for us to think about. Do we really want God to forgive all our enemies? Yes, that's worth pondering too, isn't it? Now, when Jesus walked the earth, the Pharisees said to Jesus in John 7, verse 52, no prophet ever came out of Galilee. Yet Jesus told them that the only sign that they would get regarding himself was the sign of the prophet Jonah. 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, or the belly of the fish to be more accurate. Whether the Pharisees were being sarcastic when they said that to Jesus or not, no prophet ever came out of Galilee, knowing that Jesus came from Galilee, in other words, to insult Jesus, we'll probably never know till we all get to the other side of glory. For it's very likely the Pharisees knew full well the scripture at 2 Kings 14 verse 25 that Jonah had come from the town of Gath-Hepha in Galilee. Jonah being one of only two prophets that the people to whom they were sent actually listened and obeyed. Who was the second? Micah. And the southern kingdom of Judah was spared judgment by the Babylonians a further 130 years. Interesting. Is there a man like Jonah or Micah amongst us? Can we as a church, united, proclaim the word of God effectively enough that the townspeople of Tenterfield would repent and turn to Jesus? I suppose only time will tell. Let's bow our hearts in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the story of Jonah. We thank you for a man who was, although rebellious initially, he, with a little encouragement, obeyed you at the end. And look at all those people that were saved. Lord, help us to realize that we are just like Jonah. I know I'm just like Jonah. Encourage us, Lord. Hopefully not as severely as Jonah had to go through, what Jonah had to go through, but Lord, encourage us to go the full mile, to go the whole way for you, Lord, to proclaim your gospel to your people, to this town, Lord, the people who are lost, perishing. And perhaps, Lord, you might just delay your judgment on this town and on this earth and this nation a little bit longer. Thank you for being a really, really good God. Thank you for loving us, Father. Thank you for sending your Son Jesus to die for us. Thank you, Lord, that he would pay a penalty, a ransom that we could never pay. And that with that wonderful gift and your calling upon our hearts, we have invited you into our lives and our names are now written in your book. And that your promise is that you will pour out your riches upon us throughout eternity. Well, praise your holy name, Lord. What a great and wonderful God you are. Bless us all here tonight, Lord, and prosper us in all that we turn our hands to. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.